Motopod, proudly supported by Roadskin, a UK label specializing in protective outerwear for motorcyclists. Modern biker clothing that you can wear all day long and engineered to save your skin. For the road, for life, visit roadskin.co.uk.
Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is going to be a very short special episode, number 784. As you can probably tell, this is Rich. And as mentioned with Jim in episode 783 last time out, we had an opportunity pre-Motegi round to have a brief chat with Fabio DiGiantonio of the Pertamina Enduro VR46 racing team. You only ever get a fairly brief time slot with these guys. So we tried to come up with a few interesting questions to throw at Fabio. We had a couple of questions, one from Brenton, a Patreon subscriber, and one from Jim. Now, somewhat surprisingly, given that Japan is the technological powerhouse of the world, the internet connection was pretty awful, so I'm afraid we did suffer with some breakup during the chat, so the flow of the talk is perhaps not quite as I had hoped it would be. I've done my best to edit it in some fashion that is cohesive, but unfortunately I did lose some of the answers because the breakup of the line was just so bad, you just couldn't really hear Fabio's answers, so I do apologise for that. Not much you can do in these situations when you're talking with somebody long distance over VoIP. Anyway, I hope what we were able to gather and what I've been able to put together in the edit is interesting. As we know, Fabio had a couple of pretty solid races and they now have a couple of weeks before Phillip Island. There is some talk that Fabio may well be going off to have this troublesome shoulder of his operated upon sooner rather than later. Whether that means he might bow out for the season and start his preparations for 2025 a wee bit early, obviously time will tell. Fabio will be the only other rider outside of the Works Ducati squad on the 2025 spec bike. So he has quite a high responsibility next year. So he will want to be fit and ready to go as soon as the pre-season starts. Anyway, Jim and I will be catching up tomorrow on Tuesday to talk through the three races at Motegi. Not a weekend of classics, I think most of us will agree. I'm sure Jim and I will still manage to spin it out to an hour and a half. But to fill in the gap between then and now, here we go. Over to Fabio.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to a very special and rather unexpected show in which we have the rare honour and privilege to have a current MotoGP rider on the show, Pertamina Enduro BR46 racing team star Fabio DiGiantonio. Ciao Fabio.
Ciao Richard. Hello everybody.
First of all, tell us, how are you? How is Japan and how is the shoulder currently?
Well, I'm good. Japan is just fantastic. I love this country, their culture, structures, I love them. They are quite good point on the design. My shoulder is okay. Let's say that I'm recovering. The inflammation is going away step by step. The pain too. I still have a bit of an annoying when I'm riding, but let's say that I'm quite okay at the moment.
Can I ask you, just regarding the shoulder injury, because obviously we know that you riders are always kind of having some little injury or other during the season. So how does it affect your preparation and your training at the moment? Are you able to adapt the way you're approaching your preparation, say, for this weekend in Motegi?
Well, honestly, I think my injury came in the worst period of the year because I got injured. And since then, I got like every race, every 7 days, let's say. So already when you're in a season, during the season, you don't train that much to build muscles. You train just to keep your preparation stable. And like this, it's not possible to put some muscles on it where it should be at the moment on the shoulder. So I had to do like 2 months focusing only on resting and recovering. So I was not able to train that much. So I'm just doing a lot of hours of with the physio, try to reduce the inflammation. So honestly speaking, my physical condition now is not top form, but it's okay. It's also part of the game with all these races that we do during the year.
Yeah. Now, Fabio, when speaking with riders for the first time, I always like to take a little bit of a look at the history. And when I look at yours, it's incredible to see what a big part of your career the Gresini team and I guess the Gresini family has been and the role that they played in your development and your career. So The late and great Fausto Grassini, he must have been almost like a father figure, an incredible mentor for you. Can you give us some memories of your time with him whilst you were there, particularly in Moto 3, Moto 2, as you were coming up?
Well, let's say that has been like a love and hate a relationship, let's say, because we started together in Moto 3 and we did great things together. We achieved our first podium, first points, first victories, and also we achieved to be the runner-up Moto 3 in 2018. But then we left each other in a really bad way. So our relationship was really bad after that, after those 3 years. But then, yeah, I went to Speed Up Team for a couple of years. And then we came back together with Fausto for another year in the MotoGP for 2021 and 2022. And that moment was amazing because our relationship came back really good, better than ever. And yeah, it was just a real shame that we couldn't share a lot of memories together, especially last year, at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always been a great figure, let's say, in the team, in the paddock. Has always been a super character. Also, now that I'm growing, I respect him a lot on how he had a lot of long-term see, let's say, or eye on the things.
Like a vision. Vision. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, on the teams, on the riders. So yeah, it was a great one. It's a pity that he left us. And yeah, it was, as I said, a roller coaster relationship, but for sure, I have a lot of good memories with him.
Nice. I must just ask you about Qatar last year. With all of the pressure on you at that point in your career in terms of the future in MotoGP, did you kind of enter that weekend almost knowing that you were going to win? Because very luckily for me, it was my first time to be at a MotoGP race in the paddock with Motopod. Okay. So I was around and I could see you, and you had that kind of look of a guy that just knew. You looked very happy, very calm. And of course, you know, the sprint race went incredibly well, and then winning the race on the Sunday. I mean, how do you, looking back, it's almost 1 year ago, what are your reflections on that incredible weekend that you had last November?
Let's say that we were having a really bad moment, because for sure everybody knows my old situation, that I was without a seat for the year that were coming. But there was one point during that period that I said to my close friends and family, like, okay, I won't gonna leave MotoGP without a win. And everybody was like, ah, come on, Fabio, okay, we can do good things, but come on, let's be realistic, you know. And saying like, no, you don't understand. I'm not gonna watch myself at 20 years old when I would be, I don't know, 50, that is rating MotoGP, and I would left without a win. So it's not possible. So before the end of the year, I will get a win. So I put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, and in that race, honestly, we were coming in a good moment, because on the track we were really fast. There were already some races that were showing a lot of speed. So arriving in Qatar, the feeling was really good. I was really fast through all the sessions. But then on Saturday night, I got the info that it was done for me in MotoGP officially. So there was no places for me. So I arrived in to the race on Sunday with the mood that you said is was quite accurate. Like, I was really calm, focused, and just I just wanted to enjoy that race, and everything turned out just perfect, and we showed an amazing performance. So it was a good one. Now I can say that it was a good one. At the moment it was a bit different, but now I can say that it was a good one.
Yeah, and it was a nice one for me to be at as well, because I was in the stands for the actual race on the Sunday. I went out of the paddock and I watched the race with the rest of the fans, and it was an amazing atmosphere. So congratulations on the win. I mean, what a great day that was. And what was your... Can you remember what your main emotion was? Was it pure joy, or was it extreme relief? What was the kind of the overall feeling that you had at that moment?
Let's say that it was for sure joy, but it was like, it's like when you finally understand and realize what you've done. Like, let's say that I've been so focused on making me better every day that I was not seeing any progresses, let's say. I was doing progresses, but I was not focusing on that. I was just more. And once I passed the finish line, I was like, oh man, wow, we did it. You know, it was like,
yeah.
It's like I got up there, that was in front of a beautiful, I don't know, view. You know, it was like, it was amazing. And yeah, it was a beautiful relief, as you said. And it was a moment full of emotions. I remember that I cried like for some hours.
I'm not surprised. So Tell us about your new home then at VR46. How is it? Because bearing in mind that, of course, you're a little bit unusual in the fact that you didn't come through the VR46 academy or camp, however you want to talk it. So how is the experience arriving in the team as a little bit as an outsider, let's say, even though obviously you're Italian, but how is it?
No, it's true. I'm an outsider at the end, because at the end they used to have day riders in their teams, and we did. I'm the first one of this, and I'm quite honored about. Honestly, I was a bit scared also of this, because also for them was a new thing. So honestly, I discovered a new approach of racing, and I can say that is exactly the same way that I want to enjoy racing. Yeah, we are on the same line. I enjoy the weekend so much, and it's no secret that I said many times also in other interviews that I really feel like I started to feel the joy to pack the things at home and go racing, the joy to go through the weekend, to make interviews, to have fun with the mechanics, to spend the time in the garage. So with them, I really started to enjoy racing. So it's a beautiful atmosphere. Everybody here put a lot of passion into it, and this passion. So good.
Yeah. Now, I have a couple of questions that I want to ask you. One of these has come from one of our Motopod Patreons, a guy called Brenton Edwards, who's in Australia. So Brenton would like to know about your role within Ducati and whether you're performing some test activities and getting new parts to try before the factory guys, or do you kind of have to wait until they've tried things out and then they come down to the VR46 team?
Let's say that next year we will be the factory team supported. And in the factory team supported, you participate on the developing of the bike and the new things to try at the same time as the team really build the bike, let's say, work firstly on the factory team, on the factory garage, and then comes in your box, in your garage. So it's like a little delay, but you have the same package as team test goes in more or less in the same. If they have the pieces, like the real pieces, they come all together in two or three or three riders next year, because I will be the only one with the factory team riders to have the factory bike.
Yeah, so you're on the factory bike next year. And is there a plan in place already as to what role you will play next year on the factory bike? Will you get to do some testing as well?
Well, no, with Ducati, we have the Michele Piro that is testing, so it's just to win on and try to the maximum track.
Yeah, okay, no, fair enough. And then a question from my co-host in America, Jim McDowell. This one is about the dreaded topic about the tyre pressure rules. So Jim asks, as the pressure in the tyre goes up, can you explain the feeling of the loss of the grip? Is it kind of like you suddenly arrive on ice, or is it a very gradual decline in the grip as the pressure goes up so that you get more movement and more sliding on the tyre? What is the feeling for you with the tyre pressure issue?
Instant, let's say, the feeling that you get from the rising of the pressures. The feeling that you get is that when you brake from straight, you don't stop the bike. You stop the bike less, the bike stops less. And also you start to have a lot of front lock. So from the straight braking, you start to lose a lot of times the front. And when you go inside the corner, so in the end, the bike doesn't want to turn. So it is like it pushes you. So in that moment, you still want to carry the brakes into it and you do worse. But if you release the brakes, you go wide. So it's like you cannot attack anymore. You are completely done, let's say. So it's really it's the worst feeling, because it's where you make a lot of time with these bikes is the braking and the entry. Because then on the exit, more or less everybody are on the controls, on that spinning lever, more or less. So the thing that you can do, the difference is the brake and then the entry. And if you lose it, it is done.
And what is your opinion about the situation with the new Michelin front tyre, which we believe is delayed again? Is that frustrating for you? Would you like to see this new tyre coming sooner? I think now they're talking about 2026 at the earliest. What is your feeling about that?
Well, for sure, it would be an help to have a new tyre, because this year we got a new rear tyre that created us a lot of problems, especially with the 2023 bike. That is a bike that has a lot of edge grip. And with the new tyre, now we have too much edge grip and it pushes a lot the front. So to have a new front tyre that supports the rear would be much better for us this year. But then for the future, honestly, for me, not so much, because everybody will be on the same issues, or will be okay. It's just, I think all the manufacturers will build the bike on this setup of tires, so will not be a big issue next year.
Okay. Now, Fabio, all through your career, so in Moto3 and Moto2, and now, of course, in MotoGP, we've seen in your results the growth and the progress in terms of your pace and your performance. So, what is the key for you in unlocking the performance in the MotoGP bike? Is it a process of learning and experience year by year, or is it very track specific? Meaning that the performance is always there, but you just have to find that sweet bike setup, that base setup very early in the weekend in order to move forward. How does it work for you?
Let's say your first time for if you start if you're a rookie, the thing that you need is let's say the crew chief and the data analyzer that you have in the garage, they have to be really experienced because they have to teach you how to use the big bike, the MotoGP bike with a lot of power, a lot of controls. They need to teach you. So that's the key. Because a lot of times also this year we've been fast, we arrived the race that for the race we have a really good setup, but it was a bit too late. For winning the race, you need to have the best setup, at least for FP2 on Saturday morning. If you have the best setup to Saturday morning, you have the chance to fight for the win or for the podium for Sunday.
Okay, I'm probably getting towards using up all of my time, but very quickly, can I ask you, how do you relax away from MotoGP? Obviously, we talk to you guys all the time about racing and the pressure and so on, but given the level that you guys operate at during the season, what is your way when you're away from the track to chill out? What do you do to relax?
Well, during the race weekends, I like to enjoy a lot of fun, cool moments with my physio and my best friend that is always with me. I really want to live the weekend in a soft way, in a light way. I don't want to get too much stress or get too much work also when we once we arrive in our room, hotel, or in the track, in my motorhome. So when I'm in the garage, I'm fully focused. When I'm outside, I want to chill out. At home, I like to spend a lot of time with my friends. I like to spend time for my hobbies, for my design hobby, or for music. I like to listen a lot of music, relax, discover new music. I really try to separate the things because I think when we are here, these 3 4 days are really 100% focused. So once I'm at home, I wanna do opposite, 100% relax, do my things for sure, but 100% thinking out of MotoGP.
Are you able to do that reasonably effectively? Can you switch it off? Can you just purely relax for a few days before and not think about too much the next race, the next test, the next media thing that you have to do? Is it possible to do that for you?
When you do good, it's much easier. When you do bad, it's a bit worse. But it depends a lot of on how the other people, the people that are close to you, they are. Because if they are the first guys to put pressure on you to talk about the motors and blah blah, it's really tough. But they know me, all my friends know me, my family knows me. So they know that when I'm at home, I just want to be Fabio. I don't want to be Fabio Di Sant'Antonio MotoGP rider. So they know it, and it's for me, it's quite easy.
I mean, you seem like a very humble guy. It doesn't appear that being a MotoGP superstar has affected you in a negative way. So, is that kind of something you try to consciously stay grounded as Fabio Di Sant'Antonio? That's who you are. I mean, do you try to separate these two lives that you live?
Let's say, mate, I feel lucky to do what I like to do. I do a beautiful sport, a beautiful job, and but at the end, I'm just a 25 years old guy that is doing what he likes, what he loves to do. So, as I said, I'm lucky and come from almost nothing. So I know what it is to have nothing. I'm just grateful. Grateful to my family too that helped me to arrive here, to the people that was on my way to arrive here. So it's not a thing that I have to do to be focused on. It's just me. I'm fully conscious that I'm lucky and I wanna act like crazy for this. I'm just I try to be me. As I always say that I just try to be me.
It's a nice story, really nice story. So finally then, Japan Motegi this weekend. How do you feel about the track? Is it one that you enjoy? I mean, what's your feeling going into this weekend in terms of what's possible?
Yeah, this track is beautiful. I love it. It's one of the coolest track for breakings of the year because we have a lot of hard breakings here, so we'll have a lot of fun sliding into the corner. Last year has been a good weekend for us. I had a lot of speed on dry, but also on wet. So let's try and let's hope to have this kind of feeling of last year, but also the feeling that I had in Indonesia. That was a good one. We were quite fast, and I think if we are quite okay, we find that perfect setup. For FP2, we can do a really good race, and I hope to be really close to the 24 guys that at the moment with these new bikes that I have, Yes, lagging a little bit, but the goal is to be really close to them to give them a good fight.
Yeah, well, Fabio, we wish you the best of luck this weekend, of course. It's been an
Thank
immense
you.
pleasure to speak with you. And plus, thanks to Laura and to Paul for helping to set this up. Yeah, on behalf of the entire Motorpod community, really, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. All the very best for this weekend. And I'm very determined. I'm going to try and see if I can get to Brno next season now that it's back. You must be very excited to see that
Yeah.
track coming back to the calendar. And I've never been, so I'm going to try and get to Brno next year. So maybe there'll be a chance to have a quick chat with you again sometime
For
next
sure.
season. But thank you very much. And it's been a great pleasure to talk to you. And we thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fabio.
Ciao, Richard.